Well, good morning.
Good morning, Unity family.
And welcome to another service here from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We want to remind you about the Zoom fellowship that's right after this, where you get a chance to listen to music, be in discussion about things that might be on your mind around the talk itself or something that's going on in your life and how you want to relate spiritual principles. So please join us. You know, right now in this time of virtual, the biggest thing we have going for us is to be able to connect virtually like this. So we look forward to having you in that Zoom service. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach that there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 3rd. The key word is faith, and the affirmation is, with the assurance of faith, I move ahead with confidence. Faith is my guiding light. It keeps me hopeful when I am tempted to doubt, and cheerful when I might otherwise feel gloomy. Faith tells me that even when the sky appears cloudy, the sun is still shining brightly above the clouds. Faith gives me a secure footing in the present as I plan for the future. Faith is the assurance that I am never alone, that everything I dream and do is divinely inspired. Every step I take in the direction of my aspirations is fueled by faith that they can come to pass. All of the wisdom, power, love, and strength of God are mine to express as only I can. Leaving timidity and hesitancy behind, I use these divine attributes boldly and with confidence. Faith shows me the way forward. And the scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 11:1, and it reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today we're going to look at the concept of experiencing life together, the idea that we are basically one universal family, and how that, we're going to look at how that really, what's the nature of that, and how it's to show up in our lives in terms of how we express ourselves and deal with each other. You're going to hear a lot of kind of Unity basics in this. And the reason why is because we're having more and more people join us who are fairly new to Unity. So I wanted to incorporate some of those ideas. And those of us who've been around for a while, hopefully these could be reminders for you. But we're going to start out by reading from Colossians 3:15. Okay? It says, "Above all things, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to live in peace." Okay? And so it is. So, and we want to be thankful for that calling. All right? In our discussion after the lesson last week, there was some questions about this idea of the increased need for people helping people, especially during these emotionally challenging times. And as I said before, I appreciate those discussions in that time, that Zoom fellowship, because, you know, we're exploring our desire for more clarity around our humanity and our spirituality, how those two dynamics work together. So if you have not joined us in a Zoom fellowship, you know, to be part of this discussion, I invite you to do so. I think you'll find it to be very rewarding, especially if you have questions you would like answers to. Now, in my research for this lesson, I found a section in the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, to be very significant to this idea of people helping people. And the title of this section in that book is you were formed for God's family. And it was written, it's written in Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, that again, scripture, we're going to expand on those ideas. There's going to be lots of scripture and expansion on those ideas through this talk. And this, what we just read, is in keeping with Jesus' statement in John 17:5, "And now, Father, glorify me in thy presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And this all speaks to the universal nature of our of family as a foundation or template for all of humanity. And, you know, there are places in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, where it speaks of us as being part of the one family. Again, like I said, the universal family. And it seems that the human race has lost sight of that reality. Now, not to discount the fact that over the past couple of years and even way back, you know, all through the times of all of us probably can remember when there's been difficulty, you know, people have come to the aid of people. You know, we've been out there helping each other. But there are still factions that divide us. Even though we may step across the line of our belief to help somebody else, we then step back into that line of our belief, which really keeps us separate. So we're talking about how to lose sight of that, how to understand that we are part of all one family. And the saving grace embedded in the verse from Ephesians, you know, is that idea. It's basically saying that the unification of the human family into one state of consciousness is God's unchanging plan, okay? So this means no matter how long it takes, we will all eventually awaken to the truth that at our core, there are no real differences between us, okay? We may appear different on the outside, but at the core of our being, there's no real differences between us, okay? We are all spiritual beings on a spiritual journey striving to complete our spiritual mission, which is to realize we are all connected in one universal divine family. So in our pursuit to understand this concept of universal oneness, let's explore some of the literal statements made by the author in this book, the book being The Purpose-Driven Life. One such literal statement is, we are all created by God, but not everyone is a child of God. Okay? We're all created by God, he says, but not everyone is a child of God. Now, the interesting thing about the literal approach to reading scripture is it can often leave you with more questions than you started out with. But when you read scripture with an open mind, it forces you to reach or search for the greater answers that make more universal sense, more inclusive sense. Okay, and here I'm invoking a grammatical license by making inclusive and family synonymous, right? So it's important we understand that our, you know, in this quest that we're on, looking for deeper metaphysical truths, we want more of a universal understanding of scripture, okay? Now, this striving that we have for more universal or metaphysical understanding of scripture does not necessarily make us right. It does, however, make us rebels, in a sense, outcast from mainstream Christian thought. Okay? So in biblical times, we might be called heretics. A heretic being a person who holds a controversial or unorthodox opinion of doctrine that is different from that of the established mainstream religion. Okay? So yes, we can be accused of that. Okay? Looking at the Bible metaphysically can put us in that category. However, what we need to realize is that metaphysical interpretation is not seeking to negate or disrupt literal interpretation. Let me say that again, all right? We want to realize that metaphysical interpretation is not seeking to negate or disrupt literal interpretation. Rather, it seeks to expand it to discover its hidden treasures. So again, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, 17 through 18, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of the letter will pass from the law until all of it is accomplished." Right. So the basic laws of the universe will always remain intact. Okay, so I just want to make that clear as we talk about this metaphysical interpretation. The basic laws of the universe will always remain intact. However, literal interpretation keeps them from being expanded in ways that will expose their true deeper meaning. Literal interpretation or perceptions hold you to what your senses can believe to be true. For example, when the disciples said to Jesus in Matthew 14:15, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and cannot feed 5,000 people. That's an example of a literal interpretation of a life event or circumstance. However, Jesus, you know, metaphysically, Jesus knew that within the 5 loaves and 2 fishes was a universal potential of the unlimited source. So that when understood, it can be tapped into, released, and expanded to meet the needs of the moment, or to meet your needs of the moment, or to meet my needs of the moment, okay? So this is a good way to approach the situations in your life from a metaphysical perspective. And let me just give you some more understanding of that. You want to begin to realize that whatever you are experiencing, loaves and fishes, okay, is but a limited view of the total potential available to you. And the negative experiences, there is not enough, are the results of viewing the physical and emotional circumstances in your life in an incorrect and literal, and I'd also add, limited way. Okay. So according to the author, the answer to the question, how do I learn how to see the experiences in my life from what they really are trying to tell me, is to align yourself with a spiritual community. This is what the author says. Align yourself with a spiritual community, a spiritual family, where you resonate with how they are exploring and explaining the law and the prophets, so to speak. Okay, so you want to, you know, you want to get yourself in a group that's studying and understanding in a way that you can say, this really resonates with me. And this is one of the author's main points, that being that you are not designed to make this journey alone. We need a strong, committed relationship with a faith community that approaches the spiritual life in a way that feels right to you. Okay, so in unity, we approach the spiritual life by seeking the deeper meaning of the teachings of Jesus. That's our main focus. And then commit ourselves to doing the work to incorporate our understanding of truth into our lives. So it's a twofold process. One is, you know, embracing an idea and a truth that we can resonate with. And the other one is the experiential side, making that work or working with that in your life. Okay. So our approach to interpreting scripture and the experiences in our lives follows the components of metaphysics laid down by the founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. Okay. Now this next slide has a lot on it, but we're not going to read that. All I want you to be able to see is cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. The explanation of those, I leave that to you to study, if you want to go back to the slide and study in more detail what those things are actually expressing. But I want you to know that those are the main elements, the basic elements of metaphysics as we study it or we understand it in unity, okay? So with that in mind, thinking through that process, you know, what we just talked about on that slide, cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism, okay? You want to keep those dynamics in mind. This 5-point metaphysical approach could be why a lot of people choose to stick with literal interpretation, okay? And, you know, not only literal interpretation of scripture, but remember, we're also looking at literal interpretation of our life experiences. We want to be able to look at our lives and understand the experiences we're going through from a metaphysical sense as opposed to just literal sense. Again, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not enough, okay? That's literal. We want to understand that within those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, there's a huge amount of potential if we know how to tap into it, okay? So literal interpretation is so much easier and safer to live with because it doesn't require that you understand anything beyond what appears to be as being said or what appears to be happening in one's life, okay? That's what makes literal easy. In addition, the literal approach to Scripture and life is easily manipulated to fit your own joys and your own fears. Okay, so you know, if we're looking at things literally, we can say, "Well, that's the way it is." Okay, and this is how I respond to that's the way it is. Okay, and there's not much work to be done. Okay, you just accept what is there before you as being the whole truth, regardless of whether or not there is more to be learned. So, in contrast, metaphysical interpretation insists that you do some serious work to discover what is being said underneath what is being said, okay, or what is being done underneath what is being done. I think last week we talked about the fact that the five senses are not aware of all the things that are happening in the non-physical realm, right? And, you know, you do it by working to determine and understand the cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mystical impact of Scripture and the effect it can have on your life, okay? So in addition, for the New Thought Christian, each life experience becomes yet another adventure and exploration seeking to discover and understand the truth and the life lessons hidden in what you are experiencing, okay? So that's, and we've talked about that, you know, we talk about that almost every week, some portion of that idea. Of the our spiritual experience is experiential. We are experiencing with these principles to see how they work out. So with that explanation, let's go back to the author's statement. We were all created by God, but not everyone is a child of God. Now, I would ask you to raise your hand if we were in person about how many of you challenged that statement, but not everyone is a child of God. So let's look at the whole statement made by the author, okay? It says, every human being was created by God, but not everyone is a child of God. The only way to get into God's family is by being born again into it. You became part of the human family by your first birth, but you become a member of God's family by your second birth. Okay. So again, I say, literal scripture, it needs some expanding. It needs us to understand fully what's going on there. And basically, from a metaphysical perspective, we can look at that scripture just as it was said and still make it fit with the way we think metaphysically. So as many of us have discovered, being born again is a process of process rather than a notion. It is more than just going through a religious ritual and then claiming you are born again, which I think many of us have done in our pre-unity religious experiences. Being born again is a process where once you make the decision, it becomes a lifelong pursuit. So what is being born again? What does that really mean? And we've heard it that it means accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, and from a Christian perspective, this is considered a true statement. However, in order to be more inclusive, we need to expand parameters to include those whose Lord and Savior is other than Jesus Christ. So this is where metaphysical interpretation is so much more inclusive than literal interpretation. Metaphysically, you are born again each time you become more consciously aware of the beloved within you, whatever or whoever that beloved is to you. Okay. Now for us, it's the Christ. But others may call the beloved by whatever name their tradition has embraced. Okay. So, and that's the key. That's the inclusive nature of metaphysics, allowing everybody to follow the path according to how they want to follow that path. Now, the revealing word explains the idea of rebirth or second birth. Okay, it's the awakening that occurs in your consciousness, causing you to become more aware of the reality that you are truly one with God. Rebirth occurs when truth dawns within you. It is when faith, love, wisdom become your new constant companions, replacing worry, neediness, and doubt. You are reborn when you realize that everyone truly is your brother and sister in Christ, and you are part of one universal family. Okay, that's this idea, okay? So this, as you can imagine, is a huge transformation, which requires much more than just an emotional decision to be born again. Right? The interesting thing to note about true rebirth is that once it occurs, it cannot unoccur. That's such a word. All right, if you heard me say many times before, once you have seen God, you cannot unsee God. You cannot undo the God experience once you've had it. That's true rebirth, when you know that you cannot undo what you have just been through. However, the God experience, though, can undo and heal the wounds of the ego experience that keeps us from perceiving our oneness. Right? It's sort of like the scene in the movie, the Shawshank Redemption, I think it is, in which the character played by Morgan Freeman was in front of the parole board, and they asked him if he had been rehabilitated, to which he replied, "If you're referring to that 19-year-old kid who killed that man 30 years ago, the answer is no, he hasn't been rehabilitated. But what you need to understand is that that kid no longer exists. The person sitting in front of you is a totally different person." Okay? And likewise, you are reborn when you realize that the person you see in the mirror is not the person you used to be. And I'm not referring to the fact that you cannot no longer run a mile as fast as you used to or do as many sit-ups as you used to. You know, we look at ourselves, oh, not like I used to be. Right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from living the life experience and consciously learning and awakening from that experience. Only we can choose to let the challenging experiences in our lives transform us into a wiser or compassionate person. So how does this happen? How does this born-again process occur? How do we become a part of God's family? So the author says rebirth occurs through baptism. And he says something really interesting. He says baptism is pregnant with meaning. Okay? Now we think of baptism as a physical body being immersed in water. But baptism is actually the spiritual cleansing of your mind. Okay? And this definition makes prayer and meditation a form of baptism. When we pray or meditate, we strive to cleanse or free our mind from its entrapment in ego thought. And in meditation, we're striving to clean the slate of what our ego has written to provide a clean slate for God to help us rewrite our story. That's another interesting way to look at this whole idea of prayer and meditation. And another way spiritual baptism occurs is when we hear the word and read the word and concentrate on the word. And again, it explains in the revealing word that when the baptizing power of the word is poured over the center of your consciousness, it dissolves all material fearful thought. And through this cleansing, purifying process, you are preparing to see and to discern your life spiritually. Okay, seeing your life from a spiritual perspective. And it says further in the revealing word that in our scripture there are two baptisms. The baptism of John, which represents denials, and the baptism of Jesus, which represents affirmations. And denials should be used, listen to this, gently, because you're working with old thought processes to which you have strong psychological and emotional attachments. Okay? So you have to be kind of gentle with yourself when you're using denials. Through the practice of denial, though, you will know when it is time to detach and let go. That's the advantage of denials. Affirmations, on the other hand, can be used with strength and courage because we're striving to establish a new state of mind. And once the slate is wiped clean with denials, you can aggressively work to affirm a new way of thinking and being in family with each other. And as you can most likely understand from this discussion, this is not an overnight process. I say that every week, don't I? If I was looking at you, you'd be shaking your head. Yes, you said that every week. But it's a lifelong process. It's a process that requires a tremendous amount of patience and tolerance for ourselves. And here's the key, the family key. It also requires patience and tolerance for each other. And from a spiritual perspective, relationships are always worth restoring. From a spiritual perspective, relationships are always worth restoring, even if it is just in your mind. Okay? Meaning you really cannot connect with the person, but you can do it in your mind. And we read in Philippians 2:1, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the top. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget about yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Okay? So to help us in our process of experiencing life together as one universal family, I leave you with this affirmation from the Science of Mind magazine, Wednesday, September 29th. It says, in each arrival, each goal, each moment of my life, I am infinitely open and wondrously amazed by this life experience. I know that I do not need to see the whole staircase. I simply need to faithfully take each new step. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let's settle down and get comfortable right where we are. Place your feet to the earth. Close your eyes, if you wish, and relax your body. Know that this is your time in the quiet with Spirit. Take in a deep breath and release it. Faith. My faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. Breathe deeply in and exhale gently out, allowing your body to completely relax. Each breath becomes smooth and effortless as lingering thoughts drift away. Your mind is quiet and still. Peace enfolds your spirit, and these words that you take as your own fill your awareness. Gentle, gracious spirit, my faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. Faith is the lens through which I view the world. I envision what is good. I envision what is true. Even in dire circumstances, my insight and understanding grows. I overcome negative thoughts. I persevere with patience and hope. By faith, I speak, move, and act. Though the path may be unclear, with each step, I become more certain. I discover in unexpected and surprising ways. My inner knowing grows stronger. I am steadfast, unmoved, and anchored by faith. I am confident that good will come to pass. By faith, I trust and know that all is well. I acknowledge external conditions, but I am not bound by them. All that God is, I am, whole, well, and complete, lacking nothing. Faith declares that it is so and moves me to act to make it so. By faith, I expect the best and receive nothing less. Every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts of peace, joy, beauty, harmony, and love. Please take these next few moments to come ye apart a while and be in communion with each other in the Spirit of God. We now affirm with you that faith is your true nature, your spiritual power of perception, conviction, and expectancy. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings in gratitude for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in the nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
Again. So now it is time to allow ourselves to let the abundance that flows into our lives to flow into our spiritual home. We always give thanks for all of the abundance that you are providing us in this wonderful time of doing this service. And we ask you to hold that offering blessing in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now you have light notes.
Yes. Okay. Light notes for Sunday, October the 3rd. Please join the Wednesday discussion group based on the Unity booklet Worthy. The booklet has powerful and uplifting stories of overcoming from the LGBTQIA community. This group is also for those who love and support them and all of us who have had faced similar issues. The next meeting date is October 13th from 7 to 8 p.m. The group is facilitated by April May and Kathleen Bailey. So please check your updates on newsletter for the link and to download the booklet. Please join us for another Courageous Conversations with Reverend Michelle Senegal on October 31st, following the Zoom fellowship. Michelle will facilitate our journey through effective listening skills, clear and compassionate communication, and much more. The book club's next book for discussion is Stillness in the Key. Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. So start reading it now and be ready for discussion on Sunday, November the 14th. Our theme in October is 30 for 30, giving back and giving forward. We always support our Bowie Food Pantry and would like to show support by asking those who are able to make a gift of $30 to Unity Center of Light and designate it to the food pantry in honor of our 30th anniversary. Can you believe it's 30 years already? Giving forward to Unity Center of Light for those who are able to support the future of Unity Center of Light with a gift of $30 during October. Designate this offering to the future of our church. One of our Unity Center of Light family members is adding a matching fund for the 30 for 30. They will anonymously match your $30 contribution to the food pantry and the church up to $60. We really appreciate that. That's the end.
Okay. Just to add some more clarity to that 30 for 30. It's just what it says. You know, we say $30, but if you only can do $3, you know, it's still in the spirit of it. If you can do $300 or $3,000, you know, it's all in the spirit of that 30 for 30. 30 to support the Bowie Food Pantry and 30 to
support the future
of Unity Center of Light. Yeah. What am I going to say about it? Oh, one of the questions that came up in the ministers' conference we just had this past week was the idea of wanting to support. They were one of the ministers saying, you know, to be able to support the community, and we have always been doing that in terms of supporting the community. You know, you know how much we support the Bowie Food Pantry. For those who don't know, you know, we also do a backpack drive for kids, I think it was 17 schools we supported that can't afford school supplies. We do Thanksgiving baskets.
And Christmas.
You know, so we do a lot in the community, and it all happens. When I say we, I'm including you because it happens because of you. It happens because of the Unity family that you're part of. So thank you so much for all the support that you give. And now we are going to
bless the path we walk this week. So we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto
all
together.
Right.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service. And again, we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. It's a great place, the Zoom Fellowship, you know, like I said, to have discussion and just be part of the music and all that we're doing. You know, we're going to have Safi with us in the Zoom service, all of you who know Safi. So it's going to be a great time, and we look forward to seeing you there. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.